Lecture topic, duas from Surah Fatiha.
Alhamdulillah wa kafaha wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. The importance of dua in the life of a mu'min cannot be overemphasized. And this is a very glaring part of the Mubarak life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entire day was filled, his night was filled with dua upon dua. So we, being what we are, how weak we are, how many mistakes we make, how often we trip and slip up, and then together with all this, how desperately we are in need of Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy, Allah Ta'ala's special help. And when this is a reality that we as mu'mineen have deep down in our hearts, that it will only happen, whatever we are desiring, whatever we want, whatever relief we are asking for, will only happen by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, by Allah Ta'ala's will. So all these factors put together, how desperately in need we are of making abundant dua. Not just the routine dua which has become part of just a routine, part of some habit. After salah we raise our hand, we make some dua. Sometimes we don't even know what dua we made. After the dua, if we have to think back, what did I really ask, we can't remember. Or maybe it's just the standard few dua, so for that reason we'll remember, okay, it must be this, because I always read this. So that is not what is being referred to. Dua is the very deep hearted begging from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The earnest manner in which we are meant to ask from Allah Ta'ala. And all our needs of dunya and akhirat, we should be asking from Allah Ta'ala and asking repeatedly. And dua is an ibadat in itself. One is to ask for the sake of whatever we need, our needs of dunya and akhirat. But sometimes people start becoming a bit sort of disheartened that what I've been asking for so long, I don't see it happening. So in other words, my dua is not being accepted. So if it's not being accepted, so what is the point in making dua? This is the waswasa of shaitan. The shaitan whispers in the heart of the person so that he is turned away from making dua, or he discontinues it. So we have heard this many times, and despite that we still get affected by this waswasa of shaitan, that the acceptance of dua doesn't mean that what we've asked for, that is exactly what we will see. And if it's not what we asked for, we don't see exactly that, then it means that the dua has not been accepted. That is not in any way the correct version of things. Sometimes that will happen. Sometimes some calamity, some difficulty, some hardship that was coming, we asked for A, it was some benefit that we wanted, some material benefit. Maybe we were asking for some material benefit which might have been at a certain level, certain extent. The calamity we got saved as a result of that dua might have destroyed 10 times the amount. But we are only looking at this, what we are asking for. This didn't come. And therefore we are getting disheartened, we are getting disappointed. Na'uzubillah. Whereas what we got saved from, we don't realize, we don't understand. Or sometimes a person is asking for something, and he was blessed with something greater and better. Now he's still focused on what he was asking for, but not realizing that that dua brought something very much greater. So the point is to keep making dua, and sometimes the dua is stored for a person in the akhirat. And he'll see the reward of that dua in the akhirat. At that time he will wish that no dua got answered in this dunya. Everything was stored for him in the akhirat. So dua, and dua is an ibadat in itself. If there was nothing to receive through the dua, apart from the fact that this is an ibadat, like a person makes salah, it's an ibadat. Person makes tilawat of the Quran Sharif, is engaged in ibadat. He makes dhikr, he's engaged in an ibadat. Dua is not merely asking. Dua is an ibadat, and it is mukhul ibadah. The essence of ibadat. Because ibadat brings abdiyat, servitude, being the total slave of Allah Ta'ala. And that is manifested much, much more greatly when a person is begging earnestly in front of Allah Ta'ala. There's a complete slave of Allah Ta'ala, begging from Allah Ta'ala. So whether we see what we're asking happening or not, one is to have that yaqeen that if we fulfilled what the conditions of dua are, inshallah it's accepted. And number two, it doesn't mean what we're asking for, we will definitely see that. But that's accepted. And then this is an ibadat in itself. Now whether we are generally having some tarteeb of dua or not, but everybody in their life, at some time or the other, and for some reason or the other, we end up making earnest dua. Some circumstances, some situations, something that jolted us, something that close to heart happened, which became a very big challenge and test. So everyone, somewhere in his life, ends up making earnest dua. Even if the person generally doesn't even sometimes think about making dua, but he also starts making dua. Due to what? Due to what is close to him. So somebody is close to him, that person got very sick, now he's making earnest dua. He started making tahajjud also. There's some very big challenge, something that threatens destroying everything, now he's making earnest dua. So what we understand from this is, that we also know the value of dua. And therefore when some very big situation suddenly comes, we also remember dua. So can we imagine now that one is the dua that we would make out of, because we feel now this is a very desperate situation, I got nothing else but dua. What about the dua that Allah Ta'ala has made necessary upon us multiple times a day? How important that dua would be, and what deep message and lesson we can derive from that dua. That is the dua that we make in every salah, the dua we make in Suratul Fatiha. That without recitation of Suratul Fatiha, our salah will be incomplete. And we're behind the imam, so the imam is reading on behalf of all of us. And in our individual salah, we cannot complete that salah without reciting Suratul Fatiha. And in Suratul Fatiha, the first part of Suratul Fatiha is the praises of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and acknowledging that we are going to be facing this day of Qiyamah. Iyaka na'budu, before that, Maliki Yawmiddin. That this is the day that's coming. We all have to face Allah Ta'ala on that day. Allah is the master of the day of judgment. And then we express our servitude in front of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. After his praises, obviously, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and then Maliki Yawmiddin, and then expressing our servitude in front of Allah Ta'ala, Iyaka Na'bud, wa Iyaka Nasta'een. Ya Allah, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. And what is the help we seek? Ihdina As-Sirat Al-Mustaqeem. Now this is a dua. This is the dua that we cannot do without daily, numerous times daily. Allah, guide us to the straight path. What is the definition of the straight path? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The path of the mun'am alayhim. The path of those whom you have favored. So who has Allah Ta'ala favored? So if it was left to our explanation, if we were left, it was left to us to decide what is the meaning of who Allah has favored, then everybody will think he is the one favored if what he desires he got. If the person desired a particular type of car and he got it, some fancy vehicle, he'll feel he is the mun'am alayhim. And somebody desired a particular property and it came, then he is the mun'am alayhim. And somebody had some other desire, then that came, then he is the mun'am alayhim. Allah Ta'ala says, no. The mun'am alayhim are defined in the Quran Sharif. من النبيين الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Those whom Allah Ta'ala has favored from among the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning this band of personalities, this group of personalities, these are the mun'am alayhim. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the chosen servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then next in rank, the Siddiqeen. And then next, the Shuhada. And then the Saliheen. This is the group Allah is referring to, who Allah has specially favored. Now in every salah, every rakat, we are asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq of following this path. So at the head of this, are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And at the head of the Anbiya alayhi salam, is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every rakat, we are asking, Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq of following in the Mubarak footsteps of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, this is what I am asking for. This is what I am desperately in need of. I need to follow the Mubarak way of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we are asking. So we are asking that, Ya Allah, give me that ability, that tawfiq, that pattern, that example, that way of life that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind. That legacy that he passed on to the Ummah, that way of life that he lived and he displayed for the Ummah, whether in the matter of the aqaid which he taught, which is obviously the foundation of everything, that Ya Allah, my aqeedah and belief must be the belief that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. In every aspect of life, that belief which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, not contaminated with anything else. And then the ibadat that he displayed and taught, that manner of salah, that zeal of ibadat, and that dedication to the worship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah, give me the tawfiq of following in that path. We can't come one fraction close to the actual manner in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did what he did. But that's the path we want to walk on. Or whether it is the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of his mu'amalat, what he taught in terms of dealings. Ya Allah, I want to conduct my dealings on that path, the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path of his mubarak way of life. Or likewise in mu'asharat, in social life, in how I live with people around me, how I deal with people around me, then this too I want to follow the mubarak path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the akhlaq, the beautiful, noble akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what I want to undertake in my life. This is the path I want to follow. So now, this is what we're asking. Every salah, this is what we're asking for. So in order to get there, such a great thing we're asking, the zeal to do it, to undertake that, that requires that a person must have the passion for it. A person will undertake no matter what it entails, no matter how much of sacrifice it entails, no matter how much of effort is required, he'll undertake it if there's a passion for it. If there's deep love for it, then he'll undertake anything. He'll climb the highest mountain, he'll jump down from the highest mountain, sometimes he'll jump down to his death also. But now he's got a passion for that. So now he'll try all that. He'll go diving in the depths of the ocean, sometimes never come back. There's a passion for it. And what not he'll do, things that others will look at and say, but this is sounding insane. Somebody else will say, not only sounding, it is. But he's got a passion for it. He is ready to do anything. When a person has the passion to follow in the Mubarak path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there won't be anything that will become difficult. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he would come for Umrah, for Hajj, so on the way, even if he did not have any urge, any need, but that spot where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped on the way to go and relieve himself, he would stop at that place. Now that's an effort, especially the traveling of that era and time was not just a simple, it was an effort to now dismount from that camel or from that horse, and then whatever had to be done to secure that animal in place, and then go and come back. But even if he had no need, but because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at this spot en route to Makkah Mukarramah, so Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would ensure that he would stop there as well. Regardless of the fact that at that time he had no need. So what makes a person do this? What makes him do it is that passion, that deep love. There was the common thing that people wore in those days in terms of the shoe or the footwear, the leather that was used was leather with the hair of that animal still there. Because it was a very big process to take that hair off that skin. And therefore it would become very expensive. And people couldn't afford it. Generally that was the case, they couldn't afford it. So they would just wear that footwear, that shoe or whatever that was made with that skin that still had the hair on it. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala always wore it with that hair cleaned out. Meaning like as leather we understand it to be. So somebody now noticed this, that this is the common thing that everybody is wearing, but he's taking the extra effort and care to make sure that this is the way that he is buying it or he's making it. So they asked him, but how come you are always wearing this only? He said, well, this is how I saw the footwear of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Laysa laha sha'run. There was no hair on it. Meaning this is now obviously more conducive to that shoe being more clean and whatever in terms of being pure and park, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that extra care in this regard. So affordability, whatever in his place, but even if I have to sacrifice something else, I will make sure I always wear this kind of footwear. Out of what? Out of that passion. That what I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do, I will do exactly like that. Now, there is one level that the Sahaba were on, which is a very, very high level. But that doesn't mean if we can't get there, we don't walk on the same path. We have to walk on the same path and try to keep getting closer. Maybe our life will finish off. We won't come anywhere close to them yet. But we got no other choice but to walk on that path if we want to reach where they reached. And where they reached Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through that they reached the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, declare to them, if you claim to love Allah Ta'ala, there's only one way to prove it. Follow in my way of life. Then Allah will love you. And Allah will forgive your sins. So they did this. And they gained Allah's muhabbat. We want to get to that same destination, we got no other path. There's only one path. The path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where this will come, the energy to do this, it will come from muhabbat. But now the question comes, how does muhabbat is going to come then? Well, every mu'min has muhabbat. There cannot be iman without the muhabbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But, like, now there's different strength of fuel. So you see, this fuel, this octane of fuel, whatever, is too weak to drive that engine of the aircraft. It can't take off with this. It needs a very much more stronger kind of fuel. So our engines also are being, we're trying to run it with a very weak level of mahabba. As a result, it's not really taking off. Many, many things, we're still on the ground. So we have to strengthen it. It's there, but not strong enough. It has to be strengthened. What is going to strengthen it? So now initially, a person has to force himself to do something. When he forces himself to do it, then it becomes natural. One is, when a person is inclined to something, inclination leads to emulation. He's inclined, gradually he starts emulating because of the inclination. And if the inclination is not there, then start with emulation. Push oneself forward into emulation. The emulation will develop the inclination. That emulation will create the muhabbah. So this is a two-way thing. And this grows in that manner. As that emulation, meaning the ittiba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, person is trying to learn one sunnah and adopt that one sunnah at a time and make it part and parcel of his life. Every week one sunnah. But not just to learn the theory of it, meaning becoming part of one's life. Many sunnahs we are familiar with, we know it well. But we stop to think, we're not practicing on it. And aspects that are very, very easy to practice without any effort, but we're not doing it. Or if you're doing something that just conforms, it's because it's just happening naturally, just part of life. But the consciousness of sunnah is not there. So we're losing out on that reward. But now when a person will start this emulation, bringing sunnah alive in his life, emulation will create inclination, will bring that mahabbah alive. The mahabbah comes alive, that will bring further emulation. Now this is the part that then grows that mahabbah. One is this emulation, and then is the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person remembers someone, and repeatedly remembers him, gradually that love increases, and the zikr-e Rasul is through Durood Sharif, through the sunnah as well, we remembering him all the time in that manner, and through the verbal recitation of Durood Sharif on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered us, we can't even come close to one fraction of remembering him. The one well-known hadith sharif, where Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she once saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam very happy. So to take advantage of that moment, what she did, she asked for dua. Make dua for me, Ya Rasulullah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her. Allahumma ghfir li Aishata ma taqaddama min zambiha wa ma ta'akhar wa ma asarrat wa ma a'lanat. Ya Allah, forgive Aisha. Whatever might have happened in the past, future, whatever was open. This is a general dua. A general dua. So Aisha radiallahu anha understood the value of dua. And then the dua from the Mubarak tongue of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she became very elated. She became very, very happy. She couldn't contain her happiness. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, Ayasurruki dua ya Aisha? My dua makes you happy? She said, yes, definitely, obviously. That this was the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such a dua. Dua of what? Dua of maghfirat. And if a person has gained his maghfirat, what else is left? Person's maghfirat is achieved, his dunya and akhirat is made. So when she expressed how happy she is, that indeed I'm so happy about this. So what was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response? He said, innaha la da'wati li ummati ba'da kulli salatin. This is the dua I make for my ummah after every salah. So our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was remembering us, you and I, who are seated here today, and the people, the ummah till qiyamah, and every ummati, this was one aspect alone. It was not confined to this. This was one aspect out of many, many aspects, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeatedly remembered his ummatis, remembered us. Now the question for us is, how much we remember him? How much we remember him through Durood Sharif? At least 100 times daily? How long it will take to recite Durood Sharif 100 times? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shortest formula of Durood Sharif. Even if it is the shortest formula, but with a lot of muhabbah and great love, how long it will take? Few minutes. So for few minutes, in a dedicated manner to remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If this too is not happening, then How are we going to face him on the day of Qiyamah? How are we going to want to gain his shafa'ah and intercession? The whole day went past. Our screen time was running in the hours, but we didn't find the few minutes to recite even 100 times salawat and durood sharif on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the favor is upon who? When reciting durood sharif upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the favor we are doing to ourselves, that by reciting one durood, man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alayhi biha ashara. The one recites one durood upon me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah sends 10 blessings upon him. We are sending one durood and receiving 10 blessings. Favor is our own. We are doing ourselves a favor, nobody else. But this is a matter of love and mahabba, that we remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the recitation of durood and abundant durood sharif. So now this, often the month of Rabiul Awwal, we are enthusiastic to listen to some discourse, some bayan, some talk on the Mubarak Sirat, alhamdulillah. But the other part of it is, it's not something confined to one particular time of the year. This is supposed to be part of our life. That every day we're discussing something. We're discussing some sunnah, we're discussing some aspect of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some advice of his, some hadith sharif that he has left behind for us, some lesson of the hadith sharif. So we're not that part of people that confine things to certain parts of the year and then we're done. No, no. Deen is throughout our life. Every day of our life is deen. And deen is all about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's commands, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way of life. There's no specific time that this is confined for. Yes, there are times when it increases. Like on the day of Jumu'ah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has encouraged us that increase your recitation of salawat on the day of Jumu'ah. So this is to be increased on occasions. So in any case, the thing is that the message of Rabiul Awwal is what? That we make our life in accordance to the seerat of Nabi Kareem Salam. That is what the whole message about seerat is. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah Ta'ala says that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a most splendid example. Example for what? What is the purpose of an example? That others follow. That is the message of seerat. That is what I need to reflect. What all of us need to reflect. How much am I increasing this following? So in any case, this zikr of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what will increase mahabbat. And when that mahabbat comes in, then that will bring emulation and ita'at. And together with this zikr in the form of durood sharif, the remembrance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by studying his mubarak life, reading his mubarak seerat, inquiring from the ulama-i kiram and reading authentic books on the seerat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, study this in depth. Ask ourselves, did I study one full compilation of seerat, an authentic compilation from cover to cover, to learn about the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Sahaba-i Kiram, their zeal. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an was a young child when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this dunya. So he used to go around those who had the opportunity of being close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would ask them. Ask them one aspect. Sifli mantiqa Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask, please tell me about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his talking, his speech. So now he's asking Hind ibn Abi Hala, and he says that now my uncle then described the speech of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the detailed discussion, mutawasil al-ahzan, da'im al-fiqh, laysat lahu rahatun. He started about speech, but before that he's giving an introduction to it. And you're talking about speech, but this was the condition of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mutawasil al-ahzan, in perpetual grief. Grief about what? That grief which Allah Ta'ala had to console him. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. It's perhaps you will annihilate yourself because these people don't want to accept the word of Allah Ta'ala and accept your invitation towards Allah Ta'ala. So you don't have to take yourself to that level that you get destroyed in this. But this was that grief within himself. That these people and every person must get connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But now that was his life, mutawasil al-ahzan, da'im al-fikra, constantly in concern and constantly in pondering about the ahwal of akhirat and the tafakkur fi khalqillah, pondering in the creation of Allah ta'ala, which brings greater ma'rifat, all this included in it. Now, he's asking details about it. They tell me about all these details, and now the details are being explained to him. لَيْسَ بِفَضْضٍ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ وَلَا سَخَابٍ. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not foul-mouthed. Now they went to learn this. They went to ask. And when they asked, then they were taught. So mashallah, all these mubarak, these compilations of seerah, authentic books, many written by very great personalities, Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by a very great giant personality, Hazrat Maulana Idris Khandalvi rahmatullahi alayhi, mashallah, the English translation available. Have we taken the time to inquire from the ulama in our community, which book of seerah should I study? And then study it. Again, look at the screen time. And we didn't get time to study on seerah. And now add the screen time from maybe just this month alone. And only 2 days went. And if we add it for the past 3 months, we would have read many, many volumes of seerah. But we didn't get the time to read any seerah. But we, Allah knows better what we read. So now he's giving him all this detail. And what is this doing? He's bringing greater attachment. And when this greater attachment grew, then we see in the lives of Sahaba-e-Kiram those kind of examples which we can only maybe imagine, maybe can't even imagine. What extent they were ready for every level of sacrifice, how they gave themselves for the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No sacrifice was too big for them. But where it came from? What drove them? That muhabbat. And that muhabbat drove them to go and ask also. One sahabi comes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He's asking the same questions. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala is discussing in detail. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, he asked his father Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, tell me about so many different aspects. Individually, as he's asking, one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, that is being asked. What was the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So now the reply, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha gives, مَا كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَاحِشًا. Neither was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by nature vulgar. And nor was he deliberately vulgar. By nature vulgar, deliberately vulgar, what is this? Meaning in the case of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was simply vulgarity couldn't come anywhere close to him. But Allah ta'ala gives the sahaba jazai khair in describing the personality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he was not. They left a lesson for the ummah. Because sometimes a person comes and says, but what do I do now? It just slips out. What slips out? I don't intend that vulgarity just slips out. How can vulgarity slip out? Was anybody born vulgar? His first words were some vulgarity. If it was, then where it came from? Where did the person pick up things? So in other words, it just slips out, meaning without even realizing, it means you have become naturally vulgar. Nobody is born vulgar. But what you exposed yourself to, the kind of surroundings, the kind of company, the kind of whatever you kept on hearing, that has made you vulgar. So now this has become naturally vulgar. That doesn't mean there's any excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. If a person says, I didn't mean to have a running stomach, but it's just running, so now I let it carry on, he'll perish also. So now he takes every step to treat it. So now sometimes that filth is coming out from his mouth. Let me carry on. It's just there now. It's slipping out. What must I do? So subhanallah, this two separate aspects are being expressed. Neither was he naturally vulgar. And some people are not vulgar naturally. But now they're sitting in a certain circle. Everybody's talking that kind of language. And a person doesn't even want to do that, but he starts doing that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had nothing to do with any vulgarity anywhere close. Regardless, sometimes, you know, but you know, the pressure came up. You know, just the stress. There could have been nobody under greater pressure than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody under greater challenges than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody with greater responsibility than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody anywhere close to all this. And he had the sweetest tongue. He had the best words. Leenul kalam. Now this is the message of Sirat. And this is what we have to take. Ma kana fahishan, wala mutafahishan. Then further, wala ayyabin. He was not a fault finder. Keep picking faults, looking out for people's faults, and amplifying those faults. No, he looked for the good in everybody. And he highlighted the good. Yes, if something had to be corrected, he corrected it. If something was wrong, then he corrected it immediately. But these small little things in day-to-day life, something when didn't happen how it was supposed to happen, not that any line of Shariat was crossed. He never ever took notice about it. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says for 10 years, and when he came in the khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was only about 10 years old. So a 10-year-old child, is still a child. He says, and for 10 years I was in the khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In 10 long years, ma qala li uffin qattu. Never once said uff to me. So easy to speak it, subhanallah. And more easier to listen to it. But something to ponder over. In 10 long years, not once he said uff to me. وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ فَعَلْتُهُ لِمَا فَعَلْتُهُ. And if I did something, meaning did it wrong, not obviously wrong that broke any command of Allah Ta'ala, crossed the line of Shariat. Now for example, something was to be kept here, it got kept there. Not on one occasion that I did something which wasn't done as per the requirement, that he asked me, but why you did it like this? Maybe that was addressed in a different way, that look, do it like this. But he didn't take me to task for it. Now this was the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in any case, the lesson we were talking about is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, that passion within them made them go inquire. We need to build this passion. We should make the time to recite Durood Sharif in abundance. We should make the time to study the Mubarak Sirat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not once in a while in the year that we want to hear something and then the rest of the year we not concerned about anything. This should become part of our life. Every day some portion of the Sirat we are reading and learning and trying to emulate and adopt what is to be brought in our lives. So in any case, to the extent that this will come alive, to that extent that emulation will grow, that ittiba will grow. So the one aspect in the dua that we make in every salah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. In this part of the dua, what we are asking together with many things in it, at the top of it, what we are asking and the crux of it is, Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq of following in the Mubarak footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that is what's going to take me to Jannat. نَقْشِ قَدَمْ نَبِي كَي هَي جَنَّتْ كَي رَاسْتَي. Allah سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. The world-renowned poem of Hazrat Shaki Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے. Following the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the path to Jannat. And you want to get to Allah Ta'ala, then the path to get to Allah Ta'ala is the sunnat. It's one and the same thing, that the path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path of sunnat, this is what will connect us to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is what we are asking for. Every rakat, either it's our individual salah, we're reciting it ourselves. We're behind the imam is reciting on our behalf. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Now, that's one part of the dua. And then side by side we are asking, Ya Allah, I want to be here, but please I don't want to be on a different path. What different path? غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Not the path of those who are the maghdub عَلَيْهِمْ. The maghdub alayhim, upon whom your wrath has come. And who are these people? At the top of the list are the Yahud. Every salah we are asking, Ya Allah, save us from the path of the Yahud. And walad dalin, those who are astray. And this is primarily the Nasara. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, save me from the path of the Yahud and Nasara. But unfortunately, despite every day we're making this dua so often, we're not conscious of what we are asking. If you're asking to be saved from this, how often, unfortunately, we've just performed our salah, and then we are headlong into the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. In that salah, it was so many rakats we performed, and in every rakat we recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and so many times we've asked Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, save me from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. But how we asked, what zeal we asked with, how genuinely we are asking, just in a routine manner we recited it, and then headlong in the ways of Yahud and Nasara. Now there's two paths here, side by side we are being taught. That look, one path takes you in the path of Jannat, the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sirat al-ladina al-amta alayhim. And the opposite path is the path of the Yahud and Nasara. And repeatedly in the ahadith you'll find Khaliful Mushrikeen, Khaliful Yahud, Khaliful Majus, oppose the way of the Yahud, oppose the way of the Mushrikeen, oppose their way. But if we look into our lives, how we're going, which direction things are heading, opposing their way, whatever part of life, whether it's ibadat, obviously, emulating their ways of ibadat could even lead to kufr. But then in other aspects, though it might not be kufr, but it's distancing a person very, very much away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it is with regards to appearance and dressing, whether for that matter how a person has his nikah, a wedding, or how he conducts his day-to-day life, in all these things we are asking Allah Ta'ala, Allah save us from the ways of Yahud and Nasara. Allah, we want to follow the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So guide us to that path. So now one is dua, and together with dua is dawa also. We get ill, make dua. Unfortunately, sometimes even before the dua, we're already going for the dawa. And sometimes we only go to the dawa, we forget about the dua also. And the most, if it's getting a little bit more, we'll tell somebody else, please make dua. We forget to make dua ourselves. So dua and dawa both. This is the dunya that we are living in, Darul Asbab. So we're asking for that hidayat. We're asking to be saved from the ways of Yahud and Nasara. We have to make that effort also. That effort of hidayat. That effort to bring ourselves onto the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have to make the effort to distance ourselves from the ways of Yahud and Nasara. If we ponder within ourselves, we reflect, we'll find we have come closer to them in many, many things in life. And sometimes some things become just like a norm and just become part of people's ways. They don't even think twice, why are we doing this? Whereas it's so uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes it's a burden. Somebody went somewhere and he says, I didn't know what to do here. What happened? What you didn't know what to do? He said, no, I was invited for this whatever function or something. So I got there, and now eating time, there was no chair to sit on. Everybody was walking around. He said, but what's, you know, this is how it happens, whatever style this is. But this is how you take your food from wherever it is and stand around and talk around. It's so uncomfortable. It's such a burden. You see, but there was no chair for anybody to sit on. So now this became the style. Whose style is this? Where it came from? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his manner of eating was to sit down and eat on the dastarkhan. And here to stand and eat, walk around. Which style this became? The manner of dressing of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the most, everything of his life, most perfect, most economical, most comfortable, and whether anybody understands it or not, the most beautiful. But it depends whether there's cataracts in the eye or there's no cataracts. If there's cataracts in the eye, then the most clear thing also looks blurred. But if the cataracts are gone, then the person sees what's what. So now this is that Mubarak way that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, the perfect way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't need to look anyway in the direction of Yahud and Nasara. This is what we are asking in every rakat, every salah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ya Allah, the path of whom you have showered your favors, put us on that path, the path of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't need to be emulating anybody else. They become now, their style is, they must become billboards and now advertise for the whole world who they are. Oh no, the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, simple attire, but that attire had all the beauty in it. That simplicity had all the beauty in it. And all those fancy things and so on which the dunya has brought in, this is not the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where did this come from? The Sahaba, one indication, and they changed it. One Sahabi, his hair was very long, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made one very slight indication towards it. That one slight indication was enough, he went and sorted it out. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade qaza. What is qaza? That part of the head is shaved and part of the head is hair. Now this full length haircut, it very much resembles that. But now where did it come from? Was it always there? Those who are now in their 50s, 60s, they saw it from their childhood? No, they never heard about it. If somebody in their 50s, 60s, they tried to do it in their childhood, they would have become the mockery of the day. So where it came from? It came from somewhere else. So some falling star somewhere started it. That's not the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now the technicality starts. Why? Because that mahabba is lacking. When that mahabba is lacking, the technicality starts. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, he had gone to Makkah Mukarramah at the time when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa was coming for Umrah, but the Quraysh were now becoming a barrier. The lengthy incident, the crux of it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sent Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an to go negotiate with them. We haven't come for any battle of war. We've come to make Umrah and we're going back to Madinah Munawwara. He went to negotiate with them. So now when he's going the next morning to now meet the leaders of the Quraysh in Makkah Mukarramah, so he's with his cousin, who's also not a Muslim yet. His cousin is advising him that your lower garment, your izar, your lungi, tehban, this is now too low, it's too high, it's above the ankles. This is not the way the Quraysh dress. Their garments are low down. Now you're going to go in this gathering to go and negotiate, such a important aspect is going to happen just now. They see how you dress, they're going to look down upon you. It might affect the negotiation. So now in other words, he's encouraging him, you also do the same. So how many minutes he had to think about it? Not 1 second. Without any hesitation, he said, La, I won't do this. No ways. Ha kaza izratu sahibina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how the izar, the lower garment of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. This is how I'll keep mine. That's it. Above the ankles. Midway between the, on the shin. That is how he kept it. Now this came from where? From that passion, from that mahabba. No technicalities. Technicality is out of the question. So in any case, this is that message and lesson. We are asking in every salah, we are asking Allah Ta'ala to save us from the emulation of the Yahud and Nasara. Every Suratul Fatiha, we are asking this. Allah, we don't want to fall into the emulation of the Yahud and Nasara. If we don't want to fall in that emulation, then we must close all the things from where that propaganda and that whole that flood of their way of life comes through. That whole media, we'll have to shut it off. And all those adverts and whatever else. That is where the poison is being seeped, through those magazines, through that whatever other means and modes that they are pushing this through. From those environments where this is the style and way of life. If we don't keep far away from that, we'll get caught up in it. We'll slide in such a gradual way, we'll only realize with itself. We need to stay far away from all that, shut all that off completely. Read the Mubarak Sirat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Increase the recitation of Durood Sharif. And sit in the company of those who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with this muhabba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is glaring in their lives, the way they conduct themselves, their akhlaq, their manner. This akhlaq is such a highlight in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time has already run out, but just to finish off on this, Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he heard about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared nubuwat, that he's a Nabi of Allah ta'ala. So he sent his brother to go and investigate, to go to Makkah and see what's this. Who is this person? And what is he saying? What is he all about? His brother goes, just to observe. So now obviously, he didn't have such a close association for a long time to observe too many things. Whatever he could, by just being somewhere close, little bit for a while, how long he would have been there. And he came back, so now he's giving his karguzari, he's giving his update now and his report back that you asked me to go and investigate. So what I found, at the top of the list, what he says, يَأْمُرُ بِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. He commands with good character. Subhanallah. The message of Sirat. So glaring that he came for a very short while. And just to observe, this is the message he took back. That he displays good character and teaches and commands good character. And this was in every aspect of life, the path that shone. Every person saw it, was the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We just take back this alone, we'll take a lot. This will become a starting point to grow from there to many, many things. Take the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He thought that akhlaq at every juncture. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just has reached Madina Munawwara. It's the opening address. And the opening address to the Ansar, to the people of Madina Munawwara. Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, wa at'imu ta'am, wa silul arham. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. The path to Jannat, very easy path to Jannat. But obviously, talking about Sahaba, they had everything in their lives, all the commands of Allah Ta'ala, staying away from every sin, and following what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has asked them. But now he's showing them a clean, clear path to Jannat. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامِ. Make salam common, make salam. How often somebody's passing, we're looking the other way. No salam. Make salam. And initiate salam. Be the first to make the salam. This has a very deep impact on the heart. Al-badi'u bis-salam bari'um min al-kibr. It cleans the heart of pride. Initiate salam. Make salam common. Afshus salam. Wa at'imu ta'am and feed. No time for the details and feed. And wasilul arham. Join family ties. Join family. Imagine, this is the first address to the Ansar in Madina Munawwara. And these are the highlights. Make salam. And salam is a dua. Make it wholeheartedly. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah's peace be upon you. May everything be good for you. May everything go well for you. May you be protected from every difficulty and hardship. You are in total peace from me in every way. Make it from the depth of the heart. And this feeding out of mahabba, out of true sincere love, and then silul arham, join family ties. Obviously, joining means if something has broken, you joining. Everything is already fine, there's nothing to join there. You don't say building, you might call it maintenance. We don't say now construction. This is talking about construction, something has broken. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, you be the one to go and join. Laysa al-wasilu bil mukafi. The one who gets the great rewards of being the one who joins family relationships. You're not the one who just reciprocates good for good. No, no, no. The one who does gets his very great rewards. Somebody has cut off ties from him. He is the one to go and unite. To go and join those ties. Wasilu al-arham. And then the fourth thing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ. Perform salah in the dead of night, when others are sleeping. Bring this in your life. تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. You will enter Jannat safely. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, take us with afiyah to Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Ta'ala, make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Save us completely from the ways of Yahud and Nasara. All that inclination that has come in our hearts for their ways, for anything, Allah, remove every bit of it and fill our hearts with the muhabbat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the muhabbat of his way of life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
disciple of Jesus. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ya rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu la ilaha illallah 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا الله جل جلاله عم نواله Allah Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam wa baraka wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت إله العالمين يا الله O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله يا الله forgive all the sins we did deliberately and mistakenly يا الله إله العالمين forgive our families يا الله forgive our friends and relatives يا الله forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لأمتي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إله العالمين يا الله forgive us يا الله
Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant us and the entire ummah the tawfiq of those a'mal, ya Allah, that bring down your rahmat, ya Allah, that bring down the blessings, ya Allah. Save us and the entire ummah from such actions, ya Allah, that bring azab, ya Allah. Ya Allah, all that has been spelt out to us in the Quran Sharif, ya Allah, in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the actions that bring down azab, ya Allah, that bring down your la'nat, ya Allah, whether it is interest, ya Allah, whether it is zina, ya Allah, whether it is backbiting, ya Allah, whether it is all the other evils, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from all these harms, ya Allah. Save us from all these evil actions, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah grant us the tawfiq, ya Allah, of becoming your true servants, ya Allah. Make us your true and obedient slaves, ya Allah. Make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq of living the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. Allah save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. Allah remove from our hearts, ya Allah, every iota of any inclination towards them, ya Allah, any inclination to their ways, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill the Muhammad of the Mubarak Sunnah in our lives, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to live the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifaya kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Allah, remove every taste of their ailments, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, those in any financial difficulties, remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Allah, grant barakat in each person's risk, ya Allah. Bless with abundant halal and tayyib risk filled with barakat, ya Allah. Save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Those in any kind of anxiety, worry, depression, grief, Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Fill the hearts with itminan and sukoon, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. All those are sick, give them shifaya kamila, ajil. Mustamirra daima, and I remove every taste of their ailments, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. Allah, whatever need anybody has, jaiz need, ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, fulfill their needs, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, all the pious aspirations, fulfill it, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, ya Allah. Allah, in these Mubarak times, ya Allah, all that we should have been asking for, ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, bless us with all that good, ya Allah. Whatever we should have been asking for refuge from, ya Allah, save us from all those things, ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, ya Allah, wherever any Muslim is, ya Allah, grant each one total afiyat, ya Allah, afiyat in deen, ya Allah, afiyat in dunya, ya Allah, till the last breath, keep us steadfast on iman and taqwa, ya Allah, grant us perfect death on perfect iman, ya Allah, Allah, make our covers gardens of Jannah, ya Allah, grant us a shafaat of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, grant us Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, ya Allah, Allah, grant us the shade of your arsh on the day of Qiyamah, ya Allah, grant us our book of deeds in the right hand, ya Allah, grant us the water of Kawthar from the Mubarak hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, at that time when we present ourselves, ya Allah, Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, make it such, ya Allah, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleased to see us, ya Allah, ya Allah, that he is pleased to give us the Mubarak water of Kawthar, ya Allah, that he intercedes on our behalf, ya Allah, ya Allah, save us from the disgrace and humiliation of that day, ya Allah, that we get chased away, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, Ya Allah, what answer will we have, ya Allah? If we are asked, what did you do? When the Yahud and Nasara were destroyed deen, you also followed their ways, you adopted their styles. Ya Allah, what answer we will have, ya Allah? Ya Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Forgive us, ya Allah. Grant us the true love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from the ways of Yahud and Nasara, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us his true ummatis, ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to strive for his mission, ya Allah. Enable us to, ya Allah, tire ourselves, ya Allah, for that mission which Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tired himself, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, make deen the greatest priority in our lives, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make bringing deen alive the greatest priority in our lives, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. And all the good that, ya Allah, we have asked for, ya Allah, grant it to us, ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, every Muslim, ya Allah, wherever there is anybody, any suffering, ya Allah, remove their pain and suffering, ya Allah, remove their hardships and difficulties, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah, Allah, brothers and sisters of Palestine, of Gaza, ya Allah, Allah, you remove their hardships and difficulties, ya Allah, you protect them, ya Allah, you save them, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, strengthen them against their enemies, ya Allah, strengthen them against their enemies, ya Allah. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم أيدهم بروح القدس اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم شتت شملهم، اللهم مزق جمعهم، اللهم دمر ديارهم، اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت. إله العالمين يا الله يا الله، all that we've asked for, ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant us, ya Allah, what we should have been asking for, ya Allah, grant us that as well, ya Allah. Allah, grant each one their jaiz needs, their pious aspirations, ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. والحمد لله.